Welcome to the 224th presentation of the Hallmark Hall of Fame. Tonight we are proud to present Riding the Bus with My Sister. Rachel is beautiful and successful.
Lovely.
Beth has a style all her own.
Excellent.
They have nothing in common except they're sisters.
You're weird.
So are you.
Now they are about to become more than family. They will become friends.
I like you just the way you are.
Based on a best-selling novel. Rosie O'Donnell, Andy McDowell.
I love you.
I love you too.
Riding the Bus with My Sister. The Hallmark Hall of Fame is brought to you by Hallmark Cards of Kansas City and the fine stores in your neighborhood that feature Hallmark products. Hallmark, when you care enough to send the very best.
You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. This service is primarily intended for viewers who are blind or visually impaired. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Now our view scans an apartment decorated with childish drawings and arts and crafts. Titles appear. Rosie O'Donnell is Beth Simon. Andy McDowell is Rachel Simon. Riding the Bus with My Sister. A city bus travels down a two-lane street lined with trees and storefronts. In the apartment, our view moves past a dozen plush frog toys. Titles continue. Richard T. Jones, D.W. Moffat, music by Stuart Copeland. Now the bus crosses an intersection. Edited by Roberto Silvi, production designer Karen Bromley. Now craft supplies, junk food, and a yellow boombox adorned with stickers line a counter. Director of Photography, Tony Richmond, ASCBSC. Producer, Sherry Saito. Executive Producer, Larry Sinitsky. Outside, the bus passes a strip of three-story flat-roofed buildings. Executive Producer, Rosie O'Donnell. Teleplay by Joyce Eliason. Based on the book by Rachel Simon. Directed by Angelica Houston. In the girlishly decorated apartment, a lumpy bedspread gets thrown aside as a plump woman with curly shoulder-length hair climbs out of bed. She charges into a bathroom, turns on the sink, and splashes water on her face. Elsewhere, a middle-aged woman with longer curly hair awakens in a minimalist, oriental-style bedroom. She stretches her arms overhead, strolls into a wood-paneled bathroom, and eyes her reflection in a mirror. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Carrie Canning, Justin Soule, Dutch Priest, and Stacey Perlman. Read by Gailey Heidemann. Now the plump woman faces her own reflection.
Good morning!
Back in the other bathroom, the auburn-haired woman washes her face, then dabs it with a washcloth. Now the plump woman dries her face with a towel, then faces her reflection again.
I hope you have a nice day,
Beth. Meanwhile, the auburn-haired woman exits her bathroom. Now Beth rushes outside to a staircase balcony and waves.
Jesse!
Hi, Beth.
A man rides up on a bicycle.
Hi! We have to get a new toilet if I got broke!
Okay.
Jesse turns his bike toward the street.
Bye.
Yeah.
Love you.
I love you!
She runs back inside. Now in the Oriental apartment, the auburn-haired woman runs on a treadmill, her curly locks tied back. Meanwhile, Beth wears an inside-out Tweety Bird t-shirt. She takes it off, turns it right side in, and puts it back on.
Excellent. There you are.
Meanwhile, the auburn-haired woman removes her sweaty shirt. Now Beth uses the phone.
Yes, Daddy.
Hi, honey. You okay?
Yes, I'm okay. I'm okay because I'm the sheriff. You have to take me to Super Save tomorrow because I have a sale.
Okay, I'm gonna pick you up at
6? Yeah, 6:30. I love you, I have to go. I have to go catch a bus.
Meanwhile...
No, not Jack Russell's. I said something old-fashioned like Collie's. Just do it.
She hangs up.
Got your coffee. It's on the counter.
Thanks.
She grabs a leather shoulder bag.
How about checking the editor's notes on my last chapter?
I can't, honey. I've got to shoot.
She gives him a kiss.
You said you would.
Baby, I'm late.
As she leaves, her thin-haired lover squints pensively. Sitting at a desk, he reads pages of his manuscript. Now Beth heads down the staircase of her apartment building.
What do you think you are, a hippopotamus? The way you clock down the steps every morning? Some people are still sleeping!
Not you! You're not sleeping, you're complaining. That's what you're doing. You're the hippopotamus!
The ornery neighbor storms back into her apartment. Now the auburn-haired woman enters a parking garage. A man with a wild, spiky afro loads gear into an SUV.
I hope you got the dogs. I want the cover.
I got the dogs.
He shuts the rear hatch, then heads for the driver's seat. Now at a bus depot, Beth cuts in front of a bespectacled man with a comb-over and boards a bus. She turns and faces him.
Racing.
You're second.
He climbs aboard, shaking his head. Later, the bus rolls through town.
You know you're always first with me, Beth. Every day you are first person on my bus.
Yeah.
She'd kill somebody to get on first.
I wouldn't kill.
She's got no place to go, just rides around all day.
So, it's a free country. I'm a person. I buy my bus pass for $40 and I'm first always, so that's why I'm first.
Yeah, you're doing it on the government dole. Why don't you do something useful in your life?
Okay, Henry.
Beth puts on a bright green beach hat.
Where is Beth going today?
I'm gonna go to Alma, and then I'm gonna catch a bus with Rick.
Ah, Rick is your new favorite.
Yeah, because he has a green card, he's cute.
A green Mustang, very classy.
Yeah. I think he's gonna take me for a ride in it.
What about your boyfriend? What about Jesse?
Jesse's delicious. He's going to take me today to get a new toilet seat because mine got broken and was sliding. I thought I would fall off of it like, whoa.
She smiles with an underbite. Now the auburn-haired woman sets up a camera.
Everybody out. Bring in the puppies.
A woman and three children pose in wedding attire. Assistants hand each of the children a puppy.
Dogs, I said dogs, not puppies.
I know, but they're cute.
The bride dabs her nose with the back of her hand.
Okay, if you could just sit up.
The dress weighs 98 pounds.
Try the other side.
I'm trying.
Posture, just left shoulder forward an inch.
These puppies!
She's going to cry.
I know.
Makeup?
She approaches her weeping model.
It's okay. Listen, it's easy. Here's the story. You just got married, and you're floating. Floating.
Her afroed assistant shows her a test photo.
What do you think?
Light's good. Lovely. That's lovely. Come on, sweetheart. You can do it.
The kids don't like me. I'm allergic to dogs.
Now a bus rolls past a red brick building. Later, a handsome, unshaven driver smiles at Beth as she boards his bus and hands him a coffee cup.
I'm my savior.
I'm not your savior, I'm just Beth. Cool Beth.
As she sits, a stern woman next to her inches away.
Oh, that's boring clothes. What, am I scaring you? Want me to scare you? Boom, boom, boom!
Beth. Yeah.
The primly dressed woman finds another seat.
Pay her no mind. It's just a harmless retard. Just don't make eye contact.
I'm hearing you! So, Rick, when you gonna take me for a ride in your car with a green car with my caseworker?
Oh, Olivia, huh?
Yeah, it's Olivia. She's pretty and she's nice. Oh, that's a house where me and Eugene live.
Beth points.
I think he's a jerk. You think he's a jerk, Rick?
I don't think he's a jerk. I think he's a little impatient.
Yeah, well, he put up that sign in the bathroom that says only employees can use it.
That didn't stop you, though, did it?
No, because I'm a person, and it's just a bathroom. If I use it, I don't think I'm hurting anybody.
Rick nods as he drives the bus.
Sometimes I go in there if I don't have to go to the bathroom just to wash my hands and make them mad.
Back at the photo shoot. Sitting on the church steps by herself, the model bride mopes.
Lovely, lovely. Arch your back. Look in the sky. Head up. Oh, it's lovely. The hair on your left cheek is catching the light.
I don't have a hair on my left cheek.
Back on the bus.
Be realistic, Rick. Be open your eyeballs and you can see that he's a little bit of a jerk.
A pregnant woman boards.
Okay. Oh, Shanae, you're growing.
Yeah, I'm big as a truck.
Oh, sit here.
You want a few of them kick?
Cut on?
Go ahead.
Put your hands on my tummy. He's moving all over the place.
Wow.
Beth touches Shanae's belly, then quickly withdraws her hand.
Oh, my goodness! Oh, Rick, you want to touch that?
I'm dry in here, Beth.
Yeah, I've got something to show you.
Oh, yeah?
Look.
She takes out a framed photo.
These are my niece and my nephew, Alex and Maddie.
Adorable.
Yeah, I love them so much. I never met them, but my brother says he's going to bring them over, Bobby. They're cute.
They're so cute.
Thank you.
In the Oriental apartment.
Studio. Yeah. Just a sec. Hey, Rachel. It's your stepmother.
Tell her I'm on assignment. I'll call her back later.
Hi, can I take a message? Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rachel looks over her bridal photos on a laptop. She points to a printed one.
We need to soften this. It's good, but it's not perfect.
Now a store's aisle includes toilet seats.
Okay, Jesse, here they are. I like the fishies. What do you like?
This one's soft.
Oh, but Jesse, that one's ugly. Nobody wants to sit on that.
Sorry.
You know me. I'm fussy. Yeah. We need some help. I'll get it. Can we have assistance, please, in row number one for toilet seats? Hello? Toilet seat assistance in row number one. Thank you. Who runs this joint anyway?
Nighttime. A bus drives past a fancy restaurant. Inside, Rachel's boyfriend sits across from her as she uses a cell phone.
We need to line up Celine. She has the right look. Talk to Marcel and get the dates. Let's go to Correas. I like the rock formations in the bay there. So who called?
Her boyfriend sips his wine.
I'll tell my stepmother I'll call her later. I can't deal with it right now.
She takes in a tight breath.
Look, I have to go. I have another call.
She eyes the phone's display. She puts it down and grins at her boyfriend.
I'm so sick of eating dinner while you're on the phone.
Rachel's smile wilts.
So I turned it off.
Smiling, her boyfriend purses his lips and nods.
Thank you.
As he digs into his food, Rachel sips some red wine. Two rectangular plates of Asian-style food sit laid out on a wood tray in front of her. As she watches him eat, she frowns.
We're not talking anyway.
He lifts his fork out of his tall salad bowl.
Okay. So?
He sets it down.
You and I. What are we going to do?
Rachel closes her eyes.
I can't have a baby now, and you know it.
Oh, you don't get any younger.
We can always adopt, remember? We decided we'll get married in a couple of years, and we'll adopt a little girl from China.
You make it sound like we decided to get a puppy. Listen, I just want us to enjoy life. You know, smell the roses.
We enjoy life.
As she sips her wine, he resumes eating. Daytime. At the bus depot, a sign outside an employee break room reads, City Bus Trans. Inside, Beth dances on the linoleum floor, wearing mismatched socks and mismatched canvas sneakers. Beth's yellow boombox blares on a chair as she hits buttons on a vending machine. A blonde woman arrives.
Linda! I tried to meet you at home, but I missed you. You must have already left.
Yeah, well, I was here. Would you like a cookie? It's chocolate flavor, very nutritious.
No, thanks. But, is there someplace we can go?
What for?
Beth, your dad, I'm afraid your father's had a heart attack.
Her lower jaw jutting, Beth repeatedly opens and closes her lips. Her smile fades.
No.
Beth sways on her feet and shakes her head.
No, Olivia, my dad's taking me to Super Save. I'm gonna go get Rick Foss.
Beth.
Beth grabs her boombox and rushes out the door. Olivia follows.
He's had surgery. I think you might just want to...
Beth cuts in front of people boarding a bus.
No! Excuse me, sorry.
Olivia climbs in behind her.
What's wrong?
Beth's dad is in the hospital. Massive heart attack.
You okay, Beth?
Yeah, time to start the bus. Let's go.
As passengers take their seats, Rick steers the bus onto the road.
You're going slow, Rick. I'm going to report you.
Beth.
No, Olivia. Everybody has a schedule. I've got a schedule. I'm going to go to Happy Timmy's bus today. That's why it is.
Beth, can I call someone for you?
Rick stops the bus. Beth fidgets.
Rick, you're cute, but your clothes are faded and they're not very nice. If you look at my clothes, they're very bright. I give everybody lots of color.
Where is it?
St. Matthew's.
Beth, listen to me.
No.
Your dad's in the hospital.
Yeah. I have to go to the hospital.
I'll take you there.
It's not your route. It's Pratt-Lipp's route to Dugan Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got kind of an emergency here. We're going to take a short detour, if you don't mind. Mr. Worth, it might make you a little late for your doctor's appointment.
He's a quack anyway. Go for it.
Later at the hospital, Beth barges through a hallway door. Olivia follows. A woman blocks a doorway.
He's in a coma. He's unconscious. He won't even know you're here.
Yes, he will, because he's knowing.
I think it's important for Beth to see her dad. No!
I want to see you!
Beth pushes past her.
Oh, Daddy!
I didn't want you to see him this way. I knew it would upset you.
Does it hurt you? It's me, the sheriff. Dad, can you hear me? Oh, Dad, you're going to take me to Super Safe today. You had to wake up.
She pets his hand.
You had to wake up. It's you and me. Dad, we make a good team. It's you and me. He's not going to die, is he?
Beth, please, not so loud.
But he's not going to die,
maybe,
right?
Maybe you'd like to come outside and sit down.
Maybe you should do something. You just stand there. You're doing nothing.
Beth, please. Calm down.
It's time we let your dad rest.
No, it's not time. I'm going to stay here. It's not time.
You have to cooperate.
You are not my mother. You're not. That isn't my daddy.
Beth caresses the back of his hand with her cheek.
You can wake up. You can wake up.
She pats his hand gently. Nighttime. Sitting alone on a park bench, Beth kicks her dangling feet restlessly and cries as she eats a donut. Her free hand grabs at her oversized yellow t-shirt. Her pink nylon bag, boombox, and a can of cola sit beside her. The wind rustles her curly hair. She wipes her nose on her shirt sleeve. Chewing with her mouth open, she looks up at a bright full moon framed by a tree's green leaves. Leafy shadows sway on her face as her eyes glisten with tears. She touches her temple, gulps down some cola, and takes another bite of her donut. Now Rachel lies asleep in bed. She wakes up.
Hello?
Beth is on the other end. As Rachel's brow furrows, tears roll down Beth's lip and cheek.
Rachel Simon, this is Beth Simon. Our daddy is dead.
Rachel rocks slightly, her brow cinched. Beth flicks her tongue over her jutting lower teeth. Rachel hangs up and gets to her feet. Leaning her hands and face against a large glass door, she stands alone in her spacious apartment. In a cemetery.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Amen. Now, what's traditional for our mourners to symbolically complete the burial with the throwing of dirt into the grave.
Witnessed by two of the bus drivers and other mourners, Beth and Rachel's stepmother grabs a handful of dirt. She drops it into an open grave. Jesse comforts Beth, who wears an orange t-shirt. A wavy-haired man in a yarmulke grabs another handful of dirt and drops it into the grave. Rachel goes next. She stares at the dirt in her clenched fist, then releases it onto the casket. Behind her, Beth rocks. Rachel steps back beside her.
I'm not gonna put any dirt on him.
The wavy-haired man glances at Beth.
You don't have to.
I don't think it's right to throw dirt on somebody.
Don't make a scene, Beth. All these people are here to honor Daddy.
Well, then you tell him not to throw dirt on him. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Jesse pats her on the back as she rests her forehead on his chest.
I'm not doing it. I'm not throwing dirt on it.
In a sun-saturated flashback, a plump girl eats dirt as another girl with flowing curly hair laughs. As a toddler watches from behind a bush, a woman in capri pants exits a house.
Beth, what are you eating? Rachel! That is not funny! How many times do I have to tell you? Beth is just like you. Fingers and toes and eyes and nose and ears, but she's different. She's just different, and you have to understand that. You have to take care of her.
Forever?
Yes, forever. Get in the house.
Their mother pulls Beth away. At the funeral, Rachel wears a pensive gaze. Now in a gabled house, Beth sits beside Jesse.
I don't want to leave him there in that dirty ground.
He caresses her shoulder. Rick steps over with his hands in his pockets.
You know, Beth, I was thinking that maybe you should be getting something to eat.
No. No.
Hey, you know Mrs. Brimhall? She rides the bus on Saturdays. You know what she did? She gave me a casserole to bring her today. How about that?
Beth barely glances at him.
How about you, Jesse?
Jesse shakes his head.
It's okay, Jesse. You could eat. Wasn't your daddy that died.
How about I fix your plate?
No. I fix for Jesse.
Getting up, she wags a finger at him.
Wait right there.
As she makes her way along a buffet table, Rick follows.
See, you're not alone here, Beth. Everybody's here, all your friends and your brother and your sister.
You can forget about my sister. She got a boyfriend.
Rick nods.
You want a deviled egg, Jesse?
On a patio, Olivia sits with Beth's family.
I realize this is a very difficult, sad time for all of you. But we have a problem with Beth. Can one of you be here next week for her plan of care meeting?
I'm already behind schedule. I have a shoot in Mexico.
I have to fly back to Tucson tonight.
I wouldn't know what to do. I'm not Beth's mother.
Well, would it be possible to get your real mother involved?
Forget it.
Beth's wavy-haired brother Bobby rolls his eyes.
Beth has been living independently, but her dad has been very involved, and I'm worried.
It's a problem. She doesn't want to get a job.
Beth has trouble dealing with authority. It's made it hard for her to keep jobs.
She doesn't want a job. She just wants to ride the buses.
Look, I'm doing all I can do, but I have a heavy caseload. Beth needs some measure of supervision.
Their stepmother peers at Rachel through her amber-tinted sunglasses.
Rachel, it would be good if you stayed over the weekend. Just sort out your father's things.
Rachel glances at her brother.
Then maybe you could make the meeting on Monday.
Bobby frowns. Rachel stares downward.
Somebody has to get her on track, and it's not my responsibility.
Beth has been deserted by everyone.
You have no right to judge us. It wasn't our fault.
A flashback shows young Beth on her back, her feet kicking in a seizure. As their mother kneels over her, Beth's eyes roll back.
Breathe, Bethy, breathe. Bethy, breathe. Come on, Bethy. She's not breathing. Rachel, call your father. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Rachel, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Rachel grabs a wooden spoon from the kitchen and lays it between her sister's teeth. As Beth bites down on the handle, her mouth remains open enough to take in air.
Breathe.
Back in the present, Rachel wears a haggard expression. She marches into the house. Bobby hurries after her.
Rachel, I would stay if I possibly could. You know that.
Rachel hugs him.
I'm trapped. Beth's just a dead weight. I'm trapped.
Bobby holds her consolingly. Later, he heads out to the driveway with an overnight bag. Beth and Rachel follow.
Why'd you have to go, Bob? Why'd you have to go?
Well, I have to get back to Janice and the kids tonight.
Yeah, well, what about that Christmas present?
Christmas presents?
Yeah, I do Christmas. I don't care. I got presents from last year for Alex and Maddie.
Well, I'll get them next time. I promise.
Yeah, why don't you bring them over to see me? Because I love them, Bobby.
I will. Someday soon, okay?
Okay. Promise?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, you're my baby brother. I don't want you to go.
You have to be strong, Beth.
No, I don't. I don't have to be strong because he's my only brother I got.
Hey, look. I'll call you.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I'll write to you, I promise.
Promise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby and Rachel swap a quick look.
I mean, look, you, me, and Rachel, we've been through a lot, right?
Right.
And we're going to get through this because we love each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Beth tugs on a short black ribbon pinned to her shirt.
Bye.
Bye. Bobby and Rachel hug.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
He gives Beth a kiss on the head, then loads his bag into a car. Beth waves.
I'm going to stay for a few days. Go through Dad's stuff.
Yeah, well, you'll like my place. It's really nice.
No, I'm going to stay with Valerie. You know, she's alone for these first few days.
Valerie don't like me. Remember that time I took $2 out of Dad's wallet and she made him put me in a home? And I don't like her either.
It wasn't just that, you know it. You've never been very nice to Valerie.
No, that's because she's bossy.
Rachel smiles as Beth follows her up to the front porch.
Super Saint's having a sale on soda.
Losing her smile, her big sister faces her.
24 cans of soda for $6. You gotta take me.
Rachel gives her a sober look.
So that's why you want me to stay?
Well, it's hard to carry that much soda cans on a bus.
Rachel heads to the front door, then faces her little sister.
Okay, I'll take you in the morning.
Beth brightens.
Yes?
Yeah.
Just you and me now, Rachel. That's just the way it is.
As Rachel tightens her lips, her little sister continues tugging on the ribbon pinned to her orange T-shirt. Beth turns away and leans on the porch railing. Rachel goes inside.
That's just the way it is.
The older sister closes the door. Nighttime. Light shines in the second-story bay windows of the Simon House. Inside, Rachel lounges on a sofa as she flips through a photo album. Pictures show the young siblings, their mother, and a white dog with a patch of brown around one eye. Rachel smiles nostalgically. In a flashback.
Look at that spider web. So sparkly, like diamonds. Tickle.
Rachel tickles her sister's belly. Back in the present, the adult Rachel cracks a faint smile. In the flashback, young Beth squirms. In the present. Smiling, Rachel turns the page. Daytime. Beth waits outside her apartment building.
The drinks. If you take a drink down, you pass it around. Then there's less drinks in the world.
A black car pulls up.
5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, no. Why did you get a black car, Rachel? Why'd you get a black car?
Just wait, Beth.
Yeah, it's locked. Black cars are ugly.
Wait.
I don't
just
like...
Just wait. Can't you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. It's locked. I don't think black cars are good. I like blue cars or green cars like Rick.
Who's Rick?
He's a bus driver. You met him at the funeral.
I don't remember. Have you been waiting long?
2 hours.
Why didn't you wait inside?
Because you couldn't see me in there.
I have your address. Honestly, Beth, you know, you just make things harder on yourself.
Buckle up for safety.
At the Super Save, Beth puts a bag of gummy fish in her shopping cart.
You need all this junk. You're getting fat.
So?
I'm worried about you, your health. We're going to get you some brown rice and vegetables, and I'm going to teach you how to cook it.
I won't cook it.
Of course you will.
I won't.
Later, they push their cart out to Rachel's car.
Okay.
She loads their groceries.
I want you to put the cart away.
Dad does it.
Dad isn't here.
Yeah, well, I'm too tired.
Someone could hit it. Someone could get hurt.
I don't care.
You don't care if someone gets hurt?
Well, I don't know who somebody is, so no.
She munches a gummy fish. Rachel scowls in her face.
I know why Dad called you the sheriff.
Because I always get what I want.
Rachel wheels the cart away. Waiting at the passenger door of her sister's car, Beth holds up a soda can.
Rachel, I put 7 red fishies inside of this can. Do you think they can swim in cola?
Rachel gets behind the wheel.
I hope so. I would hate to drown them.
Beth climbs in, too. At her building, they carry the groceries upstairs.
Rachel, I never knew vegetables were so heavy. These barrels are much heavier than my usual food shopping.
Rachel grins. Beth munches on a donut as she follows Rachel to her apartment door. Beth wears her pink nylon bag strapped across her body.
Are you sure you don't want a donut?
I don't want a donut.
Oh, I left it open. That was a mistake.
They enter.
All right.
Beth sets her grocery bag down on a counter.
You like it? You like my place?
Yeah, it's homey.
Look, look. Remember this?
She sits in a gray easy chair.
This is Daddy's chair.
Rachel unpacks groceries.
Remember when Daddy was sitting in the chair and I was brushing his hair and I put a ribbon in, he didn't know? That was a good one. Me and Daddy, at least we got each other, but now we don't.
She holds her right arm bent, fingers curled. As Rachel watches her sympathetically, Beth crosses the room.
Hey, I got your Christmas present right here. You can open it if you want to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a cat mug.
Wow. Cute.
You like it? Olivia said it was practical.
Speaking of practical, did you get the sweater I sent you?
Yeah, I gave it away.
What?
Yeah.
That was a very nice sweater. It was expensive.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I'm fussy.
Rachel picks up some folded laundry.
You know, you can't leave the stuff on the stove like this. It's dangerous. You could start a fire.
It's all right. That stove don't work.
How are we going to cook the food?
Beth sways her arms.
I told you I wouldn't cook it.
Swiveling her head, she fusses with her hair. Rachel wears a concerned look. In a flashback, the young Beth eats paint from canisters on an easel. Rachel plays with toy horses.
Okay, kids, let's wash up. Your dad's on his way home.
Beth shows her paint-splotched smile.
No, honey, you can't eat that. It's paint. It's poison. You can't eat it. Rachel, I told you to look after her. I told you to watch her.
Now a man crouches at the young Rachel's bedside.
Daddy? Yeah.
She's not
going to
die.
No, honey, Beth's not going to die.
Rachel nods. As her dad kisses her, she smiles.
Good girl.
She snuggles under the blanket as the light turns off. Now the adult Rachel faces her sister.
Beth, you have to start eating healthy, being responsible, or else they're going to put you back in a group home.
Jutting her jaw out, Beth shrugs.
That's okay, I'll run away.
Rachel stares sadly. Now driving a bus, a blonde woman smiles. In the front seats, Rachel and Beth sit opposite an African-American woman with 2 kids. Beth pinches her cheeks and sticks out her tongue, and the little boy and girl do the same. Beth makes a scary face, and they imitate her. Beth makes a cross-eyed face.
Come on, kids, in the back.
The woman ushers the kids to the back. Beth looks to the driver.
I'm going with kids. That's what I say, because it's true.
That's right, Beth, and kids love you.
Yes. I can't have any kids.
Beth.
That's true. They had my tubes tied up.
Rachel's gaze drops.
But that's okay, because then I don't have to worry when I'm with Jesse. You know what I mean?
Beth wears an orange teddy bear t-shirt.
Estella, do you like marshmallows?
I love marshmallows.
Me too.
We got something in common.
The kind with the sugar on the top?
I haven't had those.
Yeah, I have them sometimes. They're holidays. They make them for holidays.
Estella pulls to the curb. A dark-haired woman gets on the bus.
My ex isn't here, is he?
He already wrote today.
I can fix him up with someone else. Get him off your hands.
I couldn't do that. Pass him on to another poor sucker? Never. Come on, girls. They're not all bad.
Oh, yeah? I just chose bad men, one after another, till I got smart. Nothing so bad you can't change.
That's very smart what you said.
Women don't want good men. They want doctors and lawyers.
They pass Jesse riding his bike.
Hi there, Jesse!
Jesse! Jesse! That's a good man! That's my boyfriend, Jesse!
We know, Beth, so shut up.
Beth grins bare-toothed at Henry. Rachel shoots him an offended look.
Here we are!
The bus pulls to a stop.
We're not standing until the bus fully stops.
Estella stands and hugs Beth, then Rachel.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Okay, see you later, sweet potato.
Good one, Estella.
Bye, Rachel. Bye. You take care now, huh? Come back anytime.
Later.
Did you have to wear that? You should try and make a good impression.
All right, they know me here. Call Beth. Okay.
Later still, they meet with Olivia and a brunette social worker.
Your father was such a great guy. I know that Beth is going to miss him a lot.
I am. I'm missing him already. Because he was calling me every day.
Well, that's why we're here today, Beth. Because your dad won't be able to call you every day or help you out with the shopping or all the other things he did for you.
No. I'll manage.
There are some health issues. Your cholesterol is still very high.
Oh.
It's the ring dings, the chocolate pudding, and the junk.
Yeah, it's my body. I eat what I like. I like hot dogs, I like spaghetti and meatballs in a can, I like everything with marshmallows.
That isn't gonna help your cholesterol. You could develop a heart problem.
That's not gonna happen.
But it could.
It's not gonna.
Rachel rolls her eyes.
Beth is an adult. She has to make her own choices, and we must respect that.
You haven't seen a dentist in a couple of years.
I brush my teeth every day.
She means for a thorough cleaning.
Oh.
Beth leans back and swings her dangling, mismatched sneakers under the table.
I will let him look inside of my mouth, but he can't put his fingers in there. Not gonna do that.
We also have some concerns for Beth's safety.
I'm safe.
Olivia faces Beth.
But with your father gone.
He was gone before. He went to live with Valerie.
Rachel stares worriedly. A flashback. In their parents' house, the girl's father lugs suitcases downstairs.
Why are you going?
Young Rachel looks up at her dad.
See you every weekend, honey.
Her mother holds Bobby.
You won't live with us?
The girls stare at their dad. He kneels facing young Rachel, gently touching her waist.
I'm sorry.
Young Beth absently sways on her feet and tugs her hair. Their dad stands with downcast eyes.
Pick up the rest tomorrow.
As the man walks out the front door, Rachel follows him onto the porch. Beth and her mother step to the door. On the front walk, their father glances back on his way to a long Nixon-era sedan.
Why is he going?
Rachel's mother fights back tears.
He's fallen in love with someone else.
Their dad puts his bags in the back seat, glances at his family huddled in the doorway, and gets behind the wheel. Young Rachel's brown eyes fix on her dad as the big car drives off. Now in the small conference room, she stares absently past Olivia and the other woman. Beth rocks in her springy chair.
I have a lot of friends, I do. I have Rick, I have Pradlip, I have Happy Timmy, and... Oh, not Mean Eugene. Mean Eugene's not my friend.
What about a class? Would you like to take a class?
No.
Therapy?
No.
What about a goal?
I have a goal, to go to Disney World with Jesse and to spend a whole day with my niece and my nephew.
Beth, you ride the bus all day long.
Not Sunday.
Isn't there something more challenging, more productive that you can do?
Oh, I don't think you understand. Beth knows all the drivers and the passengers and their families and their problems. She's involved in their lives and they're involved in hers. The bus is a family for Beth.
Beth has a family.
Good. Then you're willing to come and stay with Beth, help her get on her feet.
Rachel feebly shakes her head.
We'll see how it goes. Let's try 3 months.
I have a career. I have a very demanding schedule. I have commitments. A business.
Beth was very dependent on your father.
Beth nervously picks her fingernails.
If you can't come and help her make this transition, I'm not sure she'll be able to take care of herself.
Rachel's incredulous gaze shifts to Olivia, then returns to the brunette advisor.
You don't mean you would send her back to a group home?
Shaking her head, Beth works her jutting jaw.
That didn't work before. She hated it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go now.
Beth eyes Olivia across the table. Beth shoves her beach hat into her pink bag, snatches her sunglasses, and leaves her sister facing the social workers. Later, Beth exits the building. Rachel catches up.
Beth.
Yeah?
Let's go have lunch somewhere. We need to talk.
I have no time.
Well, this is important.
About what?
We need to talk about your future. You know, I send you checks. Why don't you cash them? I can help you.
Because I get money from the government, Rachel. That's a rule. That's how it is. I gotta catch a bus.
I have to go.
All right.
An elderly lady faces Beth.
Beth, how do I get up to Marion? Is it then a 5 or what?
No, the 5 don't go to Marion. You gotta take the 11. You cross over the street on Evans and you get transferred.
I transfer on Evans?
Yes, you take the cross the street, you transfer on Evans.
Cross from Evans.
I told you 2 times, you really have to listen.
Be nice.
I tell people 2 times, Rachel. If they don't listen, it's their own fault. Here comes a bus.
Beth grins.
Here comes a bus, here comes a bus.
Beth, you know.
What?
You know, maybe a group home would not be such a bad idea.
No.
It doesn't have to be the same group home.
No, thank you.
Everyone that has, you know, they could have art.
No.
And they could have fun things to
no.
do. And you can
no.
meet people like yourself.
They're not like me, Rachel. You know it.
The bus stops and Beth gets on.
Because I'm different.
Beth grabs a transfer.
Wait up, Beth.
Hello.
Hello, Beth.
Rachel digs in her purse.
You must be the famous sister.
Well, I don't know.
Oh. Beth shows me your photograph. Beth is very proud of her sister.
I don't have a ticket, and I don't have much change.
She don't know how to ride a bus!
Rachel hands the driver money.
Does someone have a nickel?
A young guy digs a coin out of his jeans and hands it to Rachel.
Oh, thanks. $1.
Give it up, lady. Nickel don't buy nothing.
Thank you.
Rachel sits in front beside her sister.
Oh, look! Look, that's Rex bus! Is that a 5:30? And it's got a flu and a temperature.
Beth knows everything that is happening every day.
That's my job!
Beth is my first friend when I started to drive the bus. I was nervous about my route, but she talked me through it.
Yeah, because he was on the number 8 and he didn't know. He had to go up to Beale Street, do a turnaround. They don't do that anymore now. You go to Elm Street. That's just the way it is.
We are most grateful. Beth gave my wife a beautiful sweater.
I told you.
Rachel smiles. The number 12, Dugan Perry, takes them to a stop near office buildings and parks behind another bus. The sisters get off and Beth tramps to the bus in front.
So you're gonna stay with me?
Beth, I'd like to, but...
Yeah, but you gotta get me on my feet, they says.
I have a life. I can't just walk away.
Beth boards the bus.
Yeah, just 3 months. That unsettles.
The door closes and Rachel peers up through the window.
I can't.
Beth waves and mouths goodbye as the bus takes off. Nighttime. In her own kitchen, Rachel eyes the cat mug from Beth. She steps on a trash can's foot pedal and the lid springs open. Rachel drops the gift inside. Later, her boyfriend watches her unpack a box.
My dad saved everything. I had so much junk to go through. I just thought it was best that I stay. Got things straightened out.
Her boyfriend looks away.
So quiet.
I did some thinking while you were gone.
That sounds ominous.
I wanted to be at the funeral. You didn't include me.
Rachel looks away from his sincere gaze.
Believe me, I did you a favor. My family is...
That's just the point. Your family.
He takes a few steps closer.
I didn't even know you had a sister.
I was trying to spare you.
Spare me from what?
Rachel meets his gaze, lingering on it as her lips part thoughtfully.
She's retarded.
The man's green eyes shift.
Didn't even know they use that term anymore. Retarded. Is that why you never wanted to have kids?
No. Absolutely not. My brother's kids are perfectly normal.
His brow furrows.
I'm gonna go home.
He heads off.
Why?
Why? Because I just realized you treat us all the same. Nothing gets in the way of your career.
That's not true. I stayed 4 extra days listening to her babble, riding her stupid buses, eating horrible food.
Staring past a bonsai tree, he puts on a sport coat.
Sam, come on, don't be silly. I've just got a lot on my mind. I didn't mean to be cruel about Beth. You have no idea what I've had to deal with my whole life. I've always looked after her. I still look after her. I send her a check every month. She sends it back. I can't look after her every minute.
It's a full-time job.
Sam shakes his head.
Sorry, Rachel.
He draws closer and rubs her shoulder.
Maybe I could have helped you with all this. But it's a little late now.
Sam withdraws his hand and walks toward an elevator.
Oh, you are so virtuous and wonderful. Maybe Beth should move in with you.
Sam enters the elevator, looking back at Rachel as the door closes. Later, on her bed, Rachel leafs through the family photo album. One picture shows her mother, her two siblings, and herself on a bench with Bobby on their mom's lap. Another shows Beth and Rachel in a playful pose. In a third, her dad stands with an arm around each girl. Now in a flashback, young Beth and her mother sit on a stone ledge as a school bus approaches.
Here comes your sister.
As the bus stops at the curb, Beth squints with clenched fists. Her grin shows a few missing baby teeth. On the bus, young Rachel wears a school uniform. She eyes her sister from the window, then gets off along with a few other school children. Young Beth jumps to her feet and throws her arms around Rachel, who pushes her away. The other kids glance at them. Rachel's mother faces her.
Rachel, that embarrassed you? Your little sister so happy to see you?
Young Rachel gazes sheepishly.
Beth will always be in plain sight as part of this family. You have to get used to that. We'll never put her in an institution. Never.
Rachel frowns contritely. Young Beth gazes absently toward the ground. Now in her New York apartment, the adult Rachel wearily looks up from the photo album. A tear rolls down her cheek. Now in her living room, Rachel sits at her laptop, reviewing photos from the bridal shoot. Angles show the satiny gown's heavy flowing skirt, windswept gossamer veil, and bare-shouldered bodice. The photographer stares at the images, then shifts her gaze away. Behind her, an immaculately trimmed 2-foot-tall bonsai sets on a bench. Rachel stands and crosses the polished hardwood floor. A slight smile lifts her cheeks. She lifts the trash can's lid and takes out the cat mug. Rachel then puts it on display, alongside orchids on a butcher block countertop. You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Daytime. At the City Bus Trans Depot, Rachel enters the driver's break room. She glances around searchingly, then spies the Indian bus driver.
Pride love.
Ah, Beth said you went home to New York.
I came back. Do you know where she is?
Oh, she was on my last run. She told me she was going to the park with Jesse. She's going to be very happy to see you.
Thanks.
Now in a park, Jesse bows, wearing a taekwondo uniform. Beth sits on a blanket eating cookies.
That's good, Jesse.
Jesse assumes a defense position.
Looks very nice.
Rachel approaches.
That's a nice one, Jesse.
Jesse executes punches and kicks.
Do the kung pow wow one. Yeah, like boom. Oh, the kick one is good.
Rachel walks up behind Beth.
Like a boom boom. Oh, a punch. I like the punch one.
A few yards from Beth's blanket, Rachel stops and smiles.
Hey, Jesse, look what I'm doing. I'm making a cookie mountain.
Beth shows a stack of cookies. Jesse spots Rachel and points.
What? What? Oh. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Beth.
That's taekwondo. Jesse's doing. See his black belt?
I could have went further.
Yeah, he could have got a first degree or a second degree, but that was with swords.
Oh, and knives.
Yes, and knives. So he decided just to do the basics so he could build up his confidence.
I didn't have none of that.
No, but you do now, Jesse. Now you do.
Jesse nods timidly. Rachel's camera hangs on her shoulder.
Do you mind if I take some pictures?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Jesse, that's okay. Say sure, say yeah.
Please.
Rachel, you can take some pictures.
Okay.
Rachel aims her camera, and Jesse takes a starting stance. The image freezes on each shot Rachel catches. She crouches, peering through the viewfinder as Jesse lunges, punches, and kicks.
That's nice.
As Jesse executes a kick, Rachel's camera captures the stages of the movement in rapid freeze frames.
You came back!
Beth sips cola. Jesse finishes his sequence, directing his fists and gaze straight down.
Rachel, would you like a picture of a cookie mountain?
Rachel snaps photos of Beth with her stacked cookies.
Good one.
In Beth's apartment, Rachel makes a call.
I don't care. Cancel Mexico. They can find somebody else. Tell them my father died. I have some things I have to take care of here.
I'm not a thing.
I don't know how long. A few weeks. Maybe a month. I'm serious. Okay, thanks.
Rachel hangs up and joins her sister in the kitchen. Beth stands at the counter eating a donut.
So where do you want me to put my stuff?
What?
Where do you want me to put my stuff?
You can't stay here tonight, Rachel. I have a date with Jesse. We'll go out to dinner. We're going to come back here. We'll watch Animal Planet. We're going to have some snow cones. And we're going to be fooling around. But I can't stay here.
Tough. You wanted me here? Here I am.
But it's not a good time.
I broke up with my boyfriend because of you. He said I was cold and that I didn't care. I do care. I want to be better. I want to be a better sister.
Broke up with your boyfriend?
Yes.
Sam.
Sam. He's kind and funny, and he wanted to marry me.
Do you love him?
Rachel meets her sister's gaze.
Yes. I blew it.
Beth sadly nods and wags her head, then nibbles a crumb from her donut.
That's sad. For you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beth's lower lip shifts up and down as she looks away thoughtfully.
All right, you can come to dinner with me and Jesse, but you have to pay.
Rachel grins.
That's very generous.
Would you?
That's a great idea.
All right, then let's go. Jesse will be waiting. I'm going to take this one for the bus.
Beth grabs a donut. Nighttime. Jesse and the sisters enter a restaurant.
Okay, Jesse, because you can get whatever you want. Rachel's gonna pay for dinner. They don't like me here. Whenever I come to use the bathroom, they say no.
We can eat somewhere else.
That's all right.
A waitress eyes Beth.
Table three, please.
Yeah, three, please. One, two, three. Wait to that, please.
Beth points to a table. The matronly waitress lays out three menus and Beth's party sits. As the waitress watches with a slight frown, Beth opens her menu.
Oh, a lot of choices. Okay.
She fusses with her hair.
Okay. Let me see.
The waitress shifts impatiently.
Okay. Do you have chicken fingers?
Yes, we have chicken fingers.
Yes, one order, please, for the gentleman.
And for you, dear.
Well, you'll have to excuse me because I have to use the bathroom.
As Beth toddles off, Rachel smiles at the waitress.
I'll come back later.
I want a glass of Merlot. And you?
Okay.
As the waitress leaves, Rachel faces Jesse.
So Beth tells me you have all kinds of jobs. You mow grass, ride your bike to the park, and report to the police if anybody acts funny.
Yes, ma'am.
I wish Beth would get a job.
They fire her all the time.
Jesse glances shyly at Rachel.
You really care about her?
Jesse smiles and wags his head sheepishly.
I love her.
What do you love about her?
Beth returns.
She's real funny.
Did we get our basket of rolls yet? You got free rolls at this restaurant in a basket.
The waitress brings the wine.
Oh, no, 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 Jesse. Rachel, did you get that for Jesse? No, he's on vacation.
Beth gives Rachel Jesse's wine.
I forgot.
That's all right, Jesse. Not your fault. But Rachel, when I'm not here, you have to be in charge. You have to tell him things, like remind him to wear his bike helmet. And not to have any wine.
Beth glares.
Don't be stupid, Rachel.
Jesse faces Rachel.
I'm sorry.
Rachel smiles slightly, and Beth eyes the menu with a furrowed brow. Later, all three climb stairs to a footbridge as they lick ice cream cones.
You want good, Jesse?
She looks back at Rachel.
Mommy got us ice cream cone. She was nice. She was pretty and she was nice.
Beth holds Jesse's hand.
She changed after Dad left, though. I guess she was just overwhelmed. Three kids.
And me, I'm a big job. Oh, look, Rachel!
Beth points skyward.
The moon's following us!
Rachel gazes up at the full moon, a flashback. Their mother drives the young girls.
That's enough! I said that's it!
Beth looks out the window.
They're following us.
The moon's not following us, Beth. It's just there.
It is following us.
Young Beth stares at the sky. As the car cruises under drifting clouds, a full moon stays above them. In the present, Rachel grins.
Yes, it is, Beth.
Yeah. No matter where you go, if you try to run or hide or anything, the moon will always find you. It's always watching. Oh, the bus! Come on!
Beth runs.
Take a cab, Beth.
No, that's expensive!
Rachel and Jesse run behind Beth. Morning. Rachel sleeps curled on Beth's couch. In the kitchen, Beth turns on her boombox.
Good morning. You are listening to KAWZ, and a sunny day it promises to be, with highs in the 80s.
Wearing shorts and a white t-shirt with a kitten on it, Beth goes to the couch and hesitantly pokes Rachel.
So that the next few days...
Trying to wake up!
Oh. Are you sure?
Yes. This is when everything begins.
Who are you calling?
Livia.
Rachel sits up groggily.
She worked this early?
No, it's a machine. Livia, it's me. It's going to be in the high 80s. You should wear shorts.
Beth hangs up.
Ready? We're going to get cold.
Won't she be dressed by the time she gets to work?
Yes, but it's okay.
Beth bags her boombox.
Because it's okay. She likes it when I call her. Hurry up, Rachel.
Rachel stands drowsily.
I get going.
Beth follows Rachel to the bathroom, then waits outside it as her sister shuts the door. Beth fidgets.
I'm still waiting!
Now on a sidewalk, Rachel trudges behind her sister. Beth gulps from a can of cola and enters a cafe.
Water, please.
Rachel waits outside.
Thank you.
Beth exits with a cup.
Come on, you're missing it. Come on.
Beth trots to a bus and gives its dark-haired driver the coffee.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. You're an angel, Beth.
Thanks, Mike. This is my sister Rachel, and her boyfriend dumped her. She doesn't like meat like you, and she only eats vegetables. I think you guys will make a good match. Come on, Rachel.
They run to the number 11 bus.
That's a bus!
Beth faces its goatee driver.
Good news! My sister broke up with a boyfriend, and she likes to read books like you do, and I think you two are a very good match.
Beth, please stop. I'm not looking for a guy.
Later, a handwritten sign taped to the break room door reads, Drivers Only, Eugene Burke. Beth opens the door.
Some people said that they believe in Marcus, but I don't know. Practically.
Hey, Beth, you've been told this is for bus drivers only.
Jerry and Mr. Pack have been letting me in.
Yeah, well, the bosses aren't here today, are they?
Okay, Eugene.
Hey, you encourage some obnoxious behavior.
Enough.
It's for drivers.
Eugene slaps a newspaper on the table and walks off.
I mean, Eugene is a jerk.
No, no. Maybe he has difficult life. Maybe he is hurting.
I don't care.
Of course you do. Don't I always hear you say that you love all mankind?
No, I don't say that, Prodlip. You must be confusing me with someone else, for I've never said that word.
She enters the restroom. The drivers stare after her. At the break room door, Rachel looks in Eugene's direction and narrows her eyes. Now, Beth comes out of the restroom, grinning.
Right, all done. Rachel, this is everybody. That's Mitchie right there. He's got twin boys. His wife says they're wild ones. That's a Hulk right there because he's big. That's Marion. She made a chocolate cake for Daddy's funeral, but she put mayonnaise in it. I don't even know why she did it. This is the professor, and he's very smart, but it's not for you because he's married.
Beth gives him a card.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Beth.
You're welcome.
But my birthday is still a couple of months away.
Yeah, that's okay.
Beth buys a soda.
Hi, everybody. Have a nice day of safe driving. You're a big salute.
Beth leans toward Eugene, then runs out. Now on the number 12 Dugan Perry, Rachel sits in a front seat, pointing her camera across the aisle at Beth. Beth drinks her soda and glances at the driver, Rick. Smiling happily, Rick gazes at the road ahead.
I never heard you so quiet, Rick. Why don't you say something? Why don't you say something to my sister?
Rachel grins and takes pictures of Beth.
Well, Beth, I'm speechless.
Well, then I'll tell you what to say. Words. Tell her that she's pretty, because she is, and you should maybe take her on a date, because I know you want to, Rick. I know you do.
Rachel catches more candids of Beth.
Yeah.
She never shuts up.
She should get a job. Quit living off the government.
As the prim woman and Henry gripe, Rick eyes them in the mirror.
You just passed Zone 1, and she doesn't have a Zone 1 pass. You should put her off unless she pays extra, which she never does.
Put her off? She's a pest.
She's cheating the system. She should be out on that road right now. I'm going to report this. Day after day, I see her riding without a permit, and she drives everybody nuts.
Rick pulls his bus to a stop. He stands.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Rick faces the passengers with a smile.
I'm very serious about my driving, and I'm responsible for a lot of lives here. And I don't appreciate people being mean to other people on my bus.
The indignant woman glances about fretfully. Henry bows his head.
Okay.
Rachel smiles at Rick.
Beth, would you please show them your pass?
Beth proudly holds up her pass.
Zone one!
Zone one.
The prim woman faces stiffly forward. Rachel grins.
Thank you very much. Now, can we all just chill out? You, Beth, you chill out.
Okay, I'm chilling out!
As Rick sits at the wheel, he smiles at Rachel in the rearview mirror.
Zone one! I'm listening to my radio! Zone one!
As Beth grins, her sister takes more pictures. Later, on the sidewalk, Rachel photographs Rick in front of his bus.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I'm funny, sir! I'm funny, sir! He's sexy, right?
Very sexy.
Yeah, yeah! Hold your ass around on a date, because I know you want to!
Beth, leave him alone.
Beth poses with Rick. With his arm around her, he kisses Beth's cheek.
No kissing! No kissing me, but my sister's available!
Rick and Rachel trade grins. Beth pushes Rick's arm off her shoulder.
Who are you?
No, I like hugging that one.
As Rachel takes more pictures, Rick smirks coyly.
You play pool?
Rachel lowers her camera and gulps. Now in a bar, she shoots a cue ball.
What does she mean when she says, I don't know, oh?
Well, when she says, I don't know, without any stress on any word, that means she doesn't know. When she says, I don't know, oh, like you're asking, that means she does have an answer, but it's unlikely you'll be hearing it.
Leaning over the pool table, Rick lines up a shot and gives a sharp thrust of his cue stick.
Yeah, I used to dread seeing her. But then I started looking forward to that big smile in the morning.
He lines up another shot.
We're all very fond of her. We feel very protective.
Except me and Eugene.
Well, she can be tough if you cross her.
Rick checks out his next shot.
You know, Beth might not have as much to offer as a lot of people, but she gives you all she's got.
Well, I think she can make progress. That's why I'm here.
Rachel sips a beer.
You know, not a day goes by on that bus when someone doesn't make fun of her, get really impatient with her. Just go easy on her. Don't expect too much.
The corners of Rick's lips lift in a friendly smile. Rachel reciprocates. Now the sisters,
you know,
lug laundry.
Two wash, all the work so good.
Okay.
We're gonna skip that one, all right?
All right.
All right.
They continue down a sidewalk.
One time I put my clothes in, didn't come out clean.
A car slows alongside them.
Why? Hey, Beth.
A scruffy man dangles a stuffed Tweety bird out of the window.
Yeah, I got something for
you. Rachel eyes the man warily. Inching toward the curb, Beth snatches the stuffed toy, then glances at Rachel.
Who's that man?
Don't look at him. He gives me a creep. He gives me stuff every day.
Now in a laundromat, they stuff clothes into a washer.
Rick is hot.
Did you put the soap in?
Yeah, one cup. Ricky Martin, too. He's hot.
Yeah, hotter than a stove.
Yeah, hotter than a summer day. Will Smith is very hot, too. If he was here right now, Rachel, do you know what I would do to him?
Beth.
Yes?
What about Jesse?
Oh, I love Jesse. I don't love Will Smith. I don't even know him.
What is love?
Beth looks down.
What do you gotta ask that for? You got a problem? I don't know. Love just happens. That's all. Just happens. You just love somebody. That's what it is. You just love somebody.
Let me put it another way. Yeah. What do you love about Jesse?
I don't know. I love...
Beth plays with her hair.
I like kissing him. And I like love. I love the way he looks, and I love it. He's nice to me all the time.
That's it.
Yeah. You ask a lot of questions. Stupid ones. I think you should have asked our mama. She would tell you more about boyfriends. Remember that one boyfriend, Clark Kent?
Rachel's face grows somber. She walks past her sister and sits down on a bench. Beth stares at the machines.
A lot of them. There was that other guy named Bobby. I called him Bobby Spaghetti because his shirt always had spaghetti stains. Remember him?
In a flashback.
Now, you be good tonight. You do everything Caroline says, okay? Look, I want to meet someone. I'm sorry. I have to go out every once in a while. You be good tonight. I won't be back late. Go down and see Caroline. Come on.
Their mother wears a pink sleeveless dress. Outside, she heads off with a date.
I wish I had water balloon. I would drop it on him.
As the girls watch from a window, the man opens a car door for their mother.
Mama looks nice. She looks pretty.
The car pulls away from the curb. Back at the laundromat, Rachel gazes at her younger sister.
I miss Mama. Yeah, she was calling up on the phone. I tell her that, and she says we're better off without her. Think we are? Better off?
Rachel shakes her head, and Beth does the same.
You know, she has orange trees in her house on her backyard. Maybe sometime you and me can go visit her in California.
Maybe.
Rachel jumps up. Suds spill from the washing machine.
Too much soap.
Rachel grins.
I'll get the manager! Hello? We need help over there!
Now outside the grocery store.
Beth, the cart. That's your job. I'm setting some limits. You have to do your share.
You worry too much. You should be more like me.
Licking a lollipop, Beth ignores the cart and gets into the car. With an annoyed look, Rachel returns the cart to a row of other ones. Now at Beth's, Rachel stirs pasta.
He won't like it while you're cooking.
You don't even know what I'm cooking.
Beth sets the table.
The fork's on the left, knives and spoons on the right.
All right.
Beth places a fork on the right.
Where is Jesse? Dinner's almost done.
Rachel eats a piece of spaghetti. Now outside, Jesse pedals his bike down a dark alley. Gripping the handlebars, he glides past several bags of trash. Three men jump in front of him. He skids to a stop.
Hey, Jesse.
A man in a wool cap grabs at his backpack. One guy throws Jesse's bike aside. As an assailant punches Jesse, he fends them off with taekwondo. The capped man punches Jesse in the stomach. In her apartment, Beth uses the phone.
What?
Maybe he forgot.
No, he doesn't forget things.
Okay, calm down, Beth.
Something's wrong! Rachel, something's wrong!
Now outside, Beth and Rachel run down an alley, then scale some steps to a door.
Jesse!
Calm down.
You had to do something! Call Rick!
Okay, I'll call Rick.
My Jesse, too!
At a hospital, Beth and Rachel cross a waiting area with Rick.
I don't want Jesse to die here because Daddy died here.
Not gonna die.
No, but Daddy did.
Now in a guarded room, an attendant tapes a small patch on Jesse's head.
Oh, Jesse! Jesse, I couldn't find you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about supper.
Rachel shakes her head.
Don't you worry about supper, Jesse. Those bad boys. Rick is going to beat them up.
The three assailants sit across from them, bruised and cut.
Yeah, I don't think so, Beth.
They don't know no better. They don't know right from the wrong.
Yeah, that's right, Jesse.
You can take them home now. I'll have to get those stitches out in a week.
Oh, wow, Jesse, I'm not going to let them put you in the ground like they did my daddy. I decided that. Don't worry, it's not going to happen.
It's okay, Beth. He's not going to die.
Everybody dies, Rachel. That's the truth. Well, not today, not Jesse. Today, I'm going to take you home. And I'm going to take care of you really good.
As Beth happily grins, Rachel shifts her eyes uneasily.
Doctor, don't you think it's best that he goes to his own home to rest?
Yes, he should go home and rest.
To his own home? Is that what you want?
I don't know.
Okay, if you say so. Please don't go out at nighttime. I told you 5 or 7 times.
She rests her head against Jesse's shoulder, and he kisses her gently. As Jesse nods and smiles, Rick gazes at Rachel, and they exchange smiles. Daytime. A breeze rustles through skinny trees outside Beth's apartment. Inside, Rachel sleeps on the couch. She rolls over and opens her eyes. Sitting up, she pulls off a blanket and plants her feet on the floor. Nearby, Beth sits on her bed surrounded by art supplies. As she sips cola, Rachel walks over, holding her lower back.
Thanks for letting me sleep in.
She glances at the supplies.
You're doing your Christmas cards already.
It's nothing else to do. You're in the living room. Jesse couldn't stay here last night because you were on my sofa.
I appreciate you not turning on the TV till I woke up.
Beth glares at her sister.
Rick said I couldn't.
Are you upset with me?
I don't know.
I thought you liked having me here.
I like it when you leave.
Okay. I'm gonna go take a shower.
I can't stop you.
Okay, that's not nice.
Yeah, but it's the truth, right, John?
Well, you know better.
Well, I just said it's the truth.
You've been taught. Common courtesies, like Rick says, do unto others.
Rick, yeah. Because you were riding in his car, and Jesse, too. He likes you. Everybody likes you. What about me? What about Beth?
Okay,
Rachel closes her eyes.
Let's start over.
Beth's face remains stern.
I'm going to go take a shower.
I can't stop you.
I am sick of this. Sleeping on your couch. Taking your buses, giving up my job to be here with you. Sometimes I just hate you.
Beth's gaze snaps upward to her sister's. Rachel stares at Beth's hurt face and swallows. As Beth drops her head, Rachel's expression softens.
I'm really sorry I didn't mean to say that. That was a horrible thing to say. It's horrible.
Beth struggles to make eye contact.
You said you did.
I know. I don't hate you. I hate your behavior when you're rude.
Beth turns her head and shakes her arm. Rachel watches with pained eyes.
Maybe I should just leave.
Yeah, maybe you should. Go.
Rachel turns around.
Oh, need you be in my sleep at my house every day?
She throws a marker. Now a freight train heads past a hill overgrown with weeds. Above, Rachel and Rick walk across a bridge.
It's just one thing after another with her. It's like water dripping on my head. Constant, constant, constant. And it isn't going away.
You can't give up.
Oh, yes, I can. She isn't the only one that suffered.
Rick focuses on her.
Daddy left us, and then... my mother
met this guy. She said he wasn't much of a catch. He drank $200 worth of bourbon a week, smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day.
Rachel knits her brow.
He was an ex-con. Then one day I came home.
A teenaged Rachel finds her mom with an unshaven man.
Rachel, this is Raymond.
In a black t-shirt, he has a foot up on the coffee table.
Raymond will be living with us now.
Rachel watches a teenaged Beth kiss a stuffed frog.
Can't you say hello?
Hello.
Raymond raises a drink in response, then takes a swallow. Now back on the bridge.
Mom didn't care much about us. Not after she met Raymond.
Rick nods.
Yeah, I know all about that. Broken homes, broken families. I have a son. Yeah, he's a teenager. He's got a stepfather now.
Rick looks off distantly.
It's hard having your boy raised by another man. Yeah, I call him. Sometimes he calls back, sometimes he doesn't, but I gotta keep trying. Right?
That's right.
Just gotta keep putting yourself out there.
With a smile, Rick turns to Rachel. As she meets his warm gaze, he leans in and kisses her. She pulls back with a tight grin.
Rachel, it's okay. I have no illusions. No. I'm a bus driver.
No, it's not that.
I'm not putting it down.
I have a life in New York.
I know. And Sam.
Still grinning, she turns her head away.
See a bus.
You see a bus. I see two buses.
Rick points.
That one heading south and that one over there heading east.
I bet you that's Pradlip.
That's very good. That is Pradlip. It's the number 12 heading back to Perry Street.
Put your bets on there, trying to set me up with some other guy.
Good luck. They better get in line.
Together, they sit on a staircase at the end of the bridge. Now Jesse rides his bike down a street. As he glides past a parked car, Rachel pulls up and waves to him.
Jesse!
He stops.
I'm leaving. I have to go back to New York.
Okay.
Well, I have some pictures of Beth. I thought you might want a few.
He shakes his head.
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Pictures make me think of Beth alone. Sad.
He looks down and wipes his nose.
You're a good man.
My mama taught me that you do your best this day and see what the next day be like and keep moving like that.
I'm gonna remember that.
You can learn a lot in just one day.
She gives him a pensive nod.
Okay, bye.
As Jesse pedals away, she grins and drives off. Now in a patch of matted grass, a model in a flowing red gown lies next to roses. As she positions her arms over her head, Rachel stands on a ladder with a tripod and photographs her.
Lovely.
It's uncomfortable.
It looks good.
The model lounges with her head turned to one side.
Arm out, Rosalind.
Rosalind extends her arm.
Am I supposed to be dead?
Rachel grins. Later in her apartment, she views a picture of Rosalind on a projection screen. More images show three models in gowns cavorting in the grass. Her spiky afroed assistant sits nearby.
Hey, you got some more cards from Cool Beth?
I know.
As he lifts the decorated envelope, Rachel keeps her eyes focused ahead.
You're not going to read them?
Her face weakens.
I told her I hated her.
Her assistant hooks his brow.
Now I just hate myself.
In a flashback, the teenaged Rachel and a preteen Bobby carry boxes out of their house.
Why? Mama says that's Dad's trip.
Where is she? She's in the bedroom with Raymond.
As Beth sits on the front steps with the dog, her siblings carry the boxes to the trunk of their father's car.
That's it.
Rachel nods. Her father stuffs a box into the trunk, closes the lid, then heads toward Beth.
Honey, Beth. Listen, you're going to stay with your mom, just for now, okay? Beth, give me a hug.
He hugs Beth.
See you, kiddo.
Her father heads back to his car. With sullen faces, Bobby and Rachel face Beth.
Bye, Beth.
As Bobby waves, Rachel walks over to her younger sister and kneels by her side.
See you soon, Beth.
She gives her a warm hug. Beth's older sister walks down the front path and gets into the back of their father's car. As Rachel waves, Beth looks away. Now in Rachel's apartment.
Yeah.
Hey.
She wrinkles her brow.
Rick?
We miss you, Rachel.
Is it Beth?
Oh, no, she's fine. She's upset.
I think she's realizing for the first time the consequences of her actions.
It wasn't her fault. None of it's her fault.
Rick nods.
So, Beth's birthday is coming up, and we're planning this big bash, and, it won't work without you.
She closes her eyes and smiles. Now in her car, Rachel pulls up to Beth's building and parks. Above, Beth exits her apartment and starts down the stairs. With an overnight bag in hand, Rachel heads toward her younger sister.
Beth!
Beth sees Rachel and quickly sits. She lowers her head, then glances up at her sister.
I came back.
Beth sways and nods her head.
I'm sorry.
As a breeze blows through Rachel's curly hair, she nods.
I'm gonna do better. I've been practicing. I'm gonna do better.
With a warm smile, Rachel sets down her bag and takes a seat next to Beth.
I'm trying to.
Rachel pats her sister's shoulder. Now at a beauty salon, makeup highlights Beth's face. Her coiffed hair is pulled up behind a puff of curly bangs.
See, I knew you would like it. Do you want to get a manicure?
No, thank you, because I don't want anyone to touch my fingers.
Okay. Well, we'll just go home and put on our party dresses. Beth has a new dress.
Beth shifts her eyes.
Yeah.
As a stylist fixes a few curls, Beth studies herself in a mirror. Now in Beth's apartment, Rachel wears a black dress and checks her reflection. Beth steps out of the bathroom with her hair down. She wears a white kitten t-shirt and blue shorts.
Oh, Beth, your hair.
I didn't like it.
Beth plays with her fingers.
But you're still going to wear the dress, right?
Beth darts her eyes and shakes her head.
I like this better.
I forget you're fussy.
Right.
Nodding, Rachel studies her younger sister.
You know, you're right. I like you just the way you are.
Beth lights up.
That's nice. Rachel.
Now through the windshield of a bus, our view shows Rachel's car turn a corner and park in front of it, nose to nose. Rachel and Beth get out.
Is that supposed to be the sixth bus? Is that this route? Rick's gonna be in trouble! Why the sixth bus here?
Beth heads onto the bus.
Rick! The bus is in a real bus!
Jessie, the drivers, and her friends fill the decorated bus.
Thank you!
Beth bounces excitedly.
But it's my birthday!
Rick holds a cake with candles.
Oh. Oh. Now. Yeah.
Now in a decorated park.
Dogs, dogs.
Wearing a party hat, Rick prepares food. Nearby, Rachel photographs Jessie next to a tree.
Look at me, Jessie.
He smiles.
That's nice. Very good.
As Shanae passes with an infant, Jessie rests his hand on the tree.
Great. Great.
Oh, Shanae, your baby!
Rachel heads toward Beth.
Can I hold her?
Oh, Beth, I don't know. It's so tiny. Oh,
of course you can hold her.
Shanae places the baby in Beth's arms. As Beth rocks her gently from side to side, Rachel takes pictures. Beth grins warmly at the baby and pats her. Beth's eyes glaze with tears. Later in her apartment.
The bus drivers gave you such a nice party.
Beth sits on her bed eating a piece of cake.
That was fun.
As her sister grins, Beth keeps her eyes fixed on the dessert. Rachel's grin fades.
Are you sad?
Yeah.
Beth looks away and swallows.
"10 years since I can't have a baby. That's what I'm thinking."
Rachel looks painfully at her younger sister, then gets up. She walks over to the bed and stretches out next to her. Beth fiddles with the piece of cake and shakes her head.
"Are you sorry now that you can't have a baby?"
Beth shifts her teary eyes.
"I don't know. I don't know the baby."
She nods.
"Leave that baby with cry all the time. But I would love it. That's the most important thing."
As she wipes her eyes, Rachel frowns.
"I'm sorry, Beth. We thought we were doing the right thing."
In a flashback.
"How much did you do with this, Jesse?"
In a living room, Beth sits with her father and Rachel.
"The thing is, you could get pregnant if you're not careful. And everyone knows you're not very careful. I'm sure this Jesse guy is very nice, but do you really want to have a baby?"
Eating a snack, Beth smiles.
"I might."
"Babies are not dolls. They're not puppies or kittens."
"Babies get sick. They need constant attention."
"How would you manage that, Beth, when you can't even hook your own bra?"
Beth narrows her eyes, then looks away.
"Do you really want to take that chance? Do you want to have a baby?"
Beth rocks in her chair.
"Hook my own bra?" "They make them without hooks."
Now in a hospital, medics push Beth on a gurney.
I changed my mind.
"In a few minutes, you'll go to sleep. When you wake up, it's going to be all done."
I changed my mind.
Beth passes out. Rachel and her father watch from down the hallway. Now back in Beth's apartment, Rachel gazes deeply at her crying sister.
"You thought I was too stupid to hook my bra. I'm not stupid, I'm just different."
As Rachel nods, Beth wipes a tear off her cheek.
"Do you remember when we were little? And I used to tickle your arm. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you want me to tickle it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah."
Rachel glides her fingers over Beth's arm.
"That's nice. That's nice, Rachel."
Beth lies down on her back.
"That's very nice. Gives me a shiver."
Rachel runs her fingers up and down.
"Yes. Want me to do it to you now? I can do it to you now."
Beth tickles Rachel's arm.
"They're like spiders."
Now outside, our view passes under a blue sky and lush green trees. On the road below, Beth, Rachel, and Jesse ride in Rick's Mustang convertible.
"I'm not wearing a bathing suit, no way.
But you just bought that cute one with the dolphin."
"Yeah, I love dolphins."
"You gotta go for it, Beth. Be not afraid."
"I'm not afraid. It's just too cold."
She sips a cola. In the back seat, Jesse leans in the open air, gazing into the golden sunlight. Now at a beach, Beth's multicolored sneakers dance in the sand. She throws her arms up high and twirls in front of Jesse. He grins and sways with her. Holding her camera, Rachel snaps a picture and captures Beth reaching toward the sky. Nearby, Rick looks on with a smile. Near the water, Jesse and Beth join in a hug and dance together. Rachel's camera captures the happy couple. Separating, Jesse shuffles around in a circle. Now, as waves hit the beach, Jesse and Beth back up. Rachel watches Beth bop her head, and a grin spreads across her face. She snaps a few pictures of her sister clapping. Beth takes Jesse's hand, and they bend down and touch the water. As Rachel takes another photo, Rick gazes at her. She lowers her camera and heads over to him.
You've been good for her, Rachel.
You think so?
Oh, look at her. Never seen her happy.
Jesse gives Beth a big hug.
She's been good for me, too. So have you.
Rick lifts his brow.
I won't forget that.
What about Sam?
I haven't talked to him.
What did I tell you about putting yourself out there? I mean, if it's really important to you.
Maybe I'm afraid of rejection.
Rejection's good for you. It makes you move on.
Rachel! You gotta come in the water! Come on! Okay. Yeah. Jesse did it! I did it! Now you can!
Save me, Rick!
Show her, Jesse!
Go in the water! Go in the water!
Rick takes the camera. By the edge of the water, Rachel makes a silly face and balances on one foot. Rick snaps a photo of it. As he takes more pictures, Beth, Jesse, and Rachel pose. In one shot, Beth bends over while Rachel jumps up. In another, Beth spreads her arms wide. They join together in a group and smile for Rick. Now, Rachel and Beth meet with Olivia and the brunette social worker.
Beth is doing very well.
She had a tooth pulled last month.
She handled it fine.
Thank you.
Ah, the doctor's given you an inhaler for your allergy?
Yeah, but I don't use it because it takes so long. I might miss a bus.
You know, Beth, you gotta do what the doctor says. Otherwise, you could get a bad infection.
That's not gonna happen. Okay, are we done?
Not yet.
No.
What about your budget? Are you still wasting all this money on junk food?
Yes.
Beth is an adult. If she doesn't want to be cautious about her meds, her weight, or her money, we can only hope that her love of life will push her into taking better care of herself.
Beth pats her sister's hand.
That's right.
The social worker reads a file.
You still riding the bus?
Yeah.
The bus. The bus is Beth's life.
Well, that's all well and good, but Beth should have some goals.
I have a goal.
Olivia focuses on Beth.
Want to go to Disney World with Jesse. And I want to see my niece and nephew for a whole day.
The stern social worker glances to Olivia.
Same as last year.
Right.
Rachel grins.
Yes.
You want to get some ice cream?
Yes, I do.
Let's go from this point.
Okay.
Now at the bus depot.
So where are we going today? Stella, Happy Timmy, or that new driver you were talking about?
3 months are over, I'm free!
You don't want me to ride anymore.
I don't know. There it is!
As Beth heads for a bus, Rachel stays put.
You coming?
Beth jitters impatiently.
You can go without me.
All right.
Beth shifts uneasily.
Yeah?
She nods.
What?
You're weird!
Beth hurries onto the bus.
Well, Beth, so are you.
You're weird, but you're cool too sometimes.
The sisters stare at each other intently. Then Beth shifts.
I love you, Rachel.
Rachel grins.
I love you, too.
Beth shows Rick her pass and sits in a front seat. Rick smiles out the door at Rachel and lifts his hand in a wave. Rachel waves back, then glances at her sister. In her seat, Beth looks over her shoulder and flaps her hand in a vivacious wave. Rachel's brow furrows. The doors close, and Rick drives the bus away. Inside, Beth continues to wave vigorously. Now, black and white photos show Beth grinning in a bus's doorway. Others show Jesse's gentle gaze in the park and Shanae when she was pregnant. In another, Estella smokes a cigarette beside her bus. By a fence, Henry squints with a cigarette between his fingers. A white-haired man sits alone on a bus with a cigarette dangling from his lips. Jesse, in his taekwondo uniform, executes a punch. The poster-sized images hang in a crowded gallery where well-dressed guests sip wine and enjoy hors d'oeuvres. A woman faces Rachel.
I'm so happy we can show this work at the gallery. You're at a whole new level, Rachel.
They face photos that show Beth dancing on the beach with uplifted arms.
Who is she?
My sister Beth.
In the photos, Beth grins with arms stretched high. Another shows Rick with his lips puckered toward Beth's cheek. Rachel gives a wide grin. Amid the elegantly dressed crowd, Sam appears. He scans the room, then smiles. Spotting Rachel, he squeezes between a man and woman engaged in a conversation. As Rachel sees him approaching, her eyes light up. Sam smiles.
Sam. Oh, I'm so glad you came.
Glad to be here.
Cupping Rachel's face, Sam kisses her. She eagerly kisses him back and puts her arm around his shoulder. They hug. Now in Beth's hometown, a city bus rolls down the street. Its curbside signal blinks and the bus pulls to a stop. Beth gaily boards, cradling her boombox in one arm and brandishing her pass with the other. A mustached, stocky driver faces her.
What is this, Britney Spears?
No, not Britney. I'm Cole Beth, and you're a Dolphin, and you're new.
How'd you know my name?
You're new! Because I know everything. Listen, you had to stop on Carlton Street.
Carlton's not a bus stop.
Oh, listen to Henry. You have to stop there because Miss Pack has a swollen up leg and she has to go to the doctor at 11. So stop on Carlton Street, Rudolfo, and listen to me because I only tell you two times. That's it. Then you're on your own.
Rudolfo nods and drives on. Grinning, Beth looks out the window, then swings to face the driver.
Rodolfo, if I was you, I'd listen to me. Lots of drivers don't, but they regret it. Would you like to know a little secret? My sister Rachel's gonna have a baby! Yes, she isn't very good with babies, everybody knows. Gonna name the baby Stella, cause it's a girl.
Fade to black.